Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
Tomorrow's another work week. Got a lot of challenges to face. I hope it'll be a great week for you, and I hope that the things we talk about tonight and that we've talked about all through the day will strengthen you and help you to be the kind of Christian that I know you truly want to be. Luke chapter 15 contains what is arguably the favorite parable of all that Jesus taught in parables. Parable means alongside of. The idea is that I'm going to teach a principle I really want you to get, but alongside that I'm going to use an illustration, something that could happen to help you understand what I really want to get across. And I'm thankful for that. And preachers often use illustrations. It's a window through which we can better see the truth. And Jesus was a master at it. And verse 11 begins this way. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And you can just imagine what is involved in riotous living, and the elder brother is going to say something about it later. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants? I mean, he's using his imagination. He's thinking back about how it was. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. He knows this doesn't make any sense. He said, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, because this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. I love to preach from this text. But I want to take an angle tonight that you may not have thought about. And I hope it will be helpful, actually, for two qualities, two classes of people. Sometimes you have folks who are faithful, but all of us are being tempted, I suppose, every day to leave faithfulness. And when I'm tempted that way, when I'm under such a struggle and I think about throwing in the towel and bailing out and giving up on my Christianity and giving up on my Lord, I need to be able to think about the reasons not to do that. The second class of people, or category of people for whom this is applicable, would be those who have already left. And perhaps in this audience we have some such people. I don't know, but perhaps listening online right now, we have some such people who are listening to this sermon, and the truth is they used to be right with the Lord, but no longer are they right, and they need to come back. And so here's the thrust. Here's the way I want to approach the text tonight. You've got to use your imagination. What are some things the prodigal son could have said that he didn't? Things he could have said to choose not to go back to his father. You know what he said when he was feeding the swine. What he said was, in my father's house, I know what is there. There's food and there's shelter and there's security and, well, the servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish. He knows what is there, and I'm going to go back. So you know what he said, but I want you to imagine what he could have said in choosing not to go home. I guess everybody, people who are tempted to leave the Lord are being tempted of the devil, and the devil wants to make sure that they stay away from him. And And he's pretty good at this. I've always been amazed at Genesis chapter 19, about verse 11, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. And the Bible says the angels went there and they examined the sinfulness of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the wickedness and the homosexuality that was there. And they say, one of them says to Lot, now I want you to get your family, get your things, whatever you can carry on your back, and we're getting out of here because God is going to destroy these cities. Now get your stuff and let's go. And then there's this haunting line in there. And while he lingered. That's amazing to me. That's just amazing. Why would you linger? It's going to be destroyed and you're going to be destroyed with it. You got to get out. Here's your chance to get out. But the fact is he had become rather attached to that. There were some attachments to Sodom and Gomorrah that at that moment were difficult to break. And he lingered. And the angel took him by the hand and took his wife and people and the family. And they pulled him out and got them away from there. All right. Think with me. Use your imagination. Things the prodigal could have said and not gone home. Number one, he could have said, you know what? I've gone too far. I mean, you know, I have burned my bridges behind me. I have done too much to turn around and go back now. And the fact of the matter is, he has burned some bridges, hasn't he? Now I could say to you that he could go back home and everything be just like it was before he left. That really isn't true. I mean, the fact is that once you've rung a bell, you can't unring the bell. And there are consequences to sin that are going to continue in my life even after I'm through with sin. And one of them, of course, is the ghost of guilt. You've got to still have it in your mind and you still have to wrestle with the memory. And the rest of his life, he's going to remember that he squandered his father's money. I mean, you've got to understand that my dad worked hard for that money. I watched him sweat and toil and work for the money. And he invested his money and he made this money. And then I called for my inheritance and he gave it to me. And now I just blew it. I blew it on sinful things. And now it's gone. And I'm telling you, he's going to have to remember that. But what I want you to know is that in reference to God's forgiveness, there is no too far. You can always come back. I mean, you use your imagination. Think through the scriptures. People who came back to God. But what about David? David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah. And yet in Psalm 51, you see David's penitence. We talked about it in our Bible class this morning. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Those are David's words. And you see the compassion, the forgiveness that God had for David. What about Zacchaeus? You see that repentance there and the forgiveness that came. Jesus coming to his house that day. What kinds of things come to you? Well, what about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9? Listen to this list. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You can't go to heaven with these things. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't tease yourself, he says. These people won't get to go to heaven like this. Now watch what he says next. And such were some of you. Now folks, he's writing to the church of Christ in Corinth. He's writing to Christians, members of the body of Christ in Corinth. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What's that? I'm telling you that if you made a mental list and you said, surely this is a sin. If a person committed this sin, he could never come back. He couldn't come back. Oh, wait a minute. You know, the fact of the matter is that if we'll repent, God will forgive us. Now, that does not mean that I won't have to still suffer some consequences of my sin. And sometimes those consequences are grievous. Sometimes they're in relation, like with the prodigal, that I've hurt my family. I've hurt them badly, and it'll never be quite the same again. But I can tell you that God will forgive. So, here it is. The prodigal could have said, I would go home, but I can't because I've just gone too far to go back. It'll never be like that. You can always go back, and God will love you and forgive you. And here's the second one. I would go back, but you know what? My friends, would make fun of me. Now, I'm making this assumption that he had friends based on this. The prodigal had a mental picture of what it was going to be like in the faraway country, right? I mean, here he's living in his father's house, and there's the faraway country, and he's had some contact somehow with somebody that makes him think that if he goes to the faraway country, life's going to be great there. Now, is he thinking about the riotous living? I don't know. I'm sure he's thinking about the freedom from his father's constraints if he goes to the faraway land. But whoever it is that encouraged him about this or promoted this surely would make fun of him if he came back. I remember one of the deans at Fried Hardeman when I was there, or perhaps a little after, made this interesting observation. He said, I don't really understand this, but we start a school year, and the kids that are living in an immoral way, there will be a handful of them every year that will come to Fried Hardeman. And he said, within 1 week, all of those kids find each other. He said, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they figure out which ones of them are bent that way or are living that way, but they find each other. Don't you suppose the prodigal could have said, if I go home, those people are not going to understand this. And you know what? I've got lots of friends, but they're going to mock this. That I gave up what I had in the faraway country, what they consider to be the good life, and I'm trading it for the restraints of my father's house. I'm coming back and they're going to consider me a failure. You know, there have always been people who mocked Christians. You know, you follow Jesus Christ. You wear His name. And I can tell you, there are going to be people who won't understand and who are going to mock it and make fun of it. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, or 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, in the latter days are going to come scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they usually were. You say that Jesus is coming back, but He hasn't come yet, so we don't think He is. You're wasting your time, you know, to be Christians. Maybe the prodigal could have said, I can't go back. You know what? My old friends are there. What are they going to say? And they're the only friends I've got. And sometimes being a Christian means I've got to change some of my friendships, some of my acquaintances, some of the people to run with. Here's number three. I can't go back. Listen to me. You don't know what's back there. And it's my brother, and my brother is a hypocrite. Now look, I may be living away from God, and I may be living in sin and all that, and I know you don't approve of the harlots I sleep with, but I tell you one thing, at least I'm not a hypocrite, but my brother is. And I'm not going to go back there, be around people like that. Couldn't he have said that? Is it true that his brother was a hypocrite? Yeah. Yeah, that was true. As a matter of fact, if you put this in its chapter, really the parable of the prodigal son is about the elder brother. Because Jesus was preaching to some of those Jewish leaders, and they were like that elder brother, and he was making this point. Was the elder brother hypocritical? Of course he was. Is it true that in the church of our Lord, that sometimes people will live hypocritical lives? That they'll profess one thing and live a completely different thing, and they know it, and that's just what they put on a facade, a sort of a Christian mask. And well, yeah, well, sure. Well, so I don't like to be around those kinds of people. And isn't it logical that I could say, I'm staying away from that but because I don't want to associate with hypocrites and I'm not going to be like that. And, well, you know, I want you to think along a different line. Think about this. There are some mighty important things that have happened in the Bible that would not have happened had people had this mindset about hypocrites. You take the apostles, for example. I preached this morning from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 5, and I mean, I love this. There's an excitement to the kind of dedication that those apostles had, putting their lives, I mean, their necks on the line for Jesus Christ, preaching with courage. But there was Judas. I mean, have you ever thought about the fact that using this kind of argumentation, the apostles could have said, listen, I've decided to get out of the apostleship. Because, I mean, you got hypocrites. I didn't know when I came into this that there was going to be a hypocrite among the apostles. And so, I think I'm going to be out. You can't imagine that. You can't stretch your imagination that way. What about Ananias and Sapphira? What about Acts chapter 5? And they committed their sin, and you know what happened, of course, is that they were struck dead. And the Bible says great fear came on all the church. But what it doesn't say is that a bunch of people left because they said, ooh, there are hypocrites in the church. You can't imagine. You can't stretch your imagination to think that. The irony of this is that a person who's living a two-faced life, hypocrite, you know, well, he can't go to heaven like that. In context, you know that the elder brother wasn't going to get to go to heaven. And the irony is that if the prodigal son had used this line of reasoning and said, I'm not going to come back home again. I'm not going to repent because I don't want to associate with that hypocrite. The prodigal would have gone to hell to be with his elder brother for all eternity. You see? Number four. I don't want to miss four. Number four. The prodigal could have said, you know, I'd like to come back. I mean, I really would like to come back. But I don't think I can live that life anymore. And on this one, what I want you to consider is that sometimes people who go into a life of sin develop cravings and appetites in that life that are not easy to reverse if they come back to living godly lives. Do you think that must be true about the prodigal? The elder brother said not only that he was living in riotous living, but he wasted his father's substance with harlots. Do you think maybe, I don't know how many harlots he was involved with or what all that involved. Maybe you think about alcohol or maybe some drugs and all immoral living that he was doing. Do you think that he developed appetites that would be difficult to turn loose of? Perhaps so. I suppose that's true. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says evil companionship corrupts good morals. Isn't that corrupts word interesting there? Got good morals? You know what? Run with the wrong crowd. And by and by what happens is those good morals get kind of chiseled away. And before long you don't have them. It corrupts good morals. And the prodigal could have said this. He could have said, I'm not going to go home because I just can't live the life of a righteous, godly man anymore. I'm going to tell you something though. You got to remember that 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says this argument is not right. It says that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. People face temptations. All people face temptations. And you must not think that you're unique in this. We are not unique in this. All people who come to God have to repent of their sins and they have hurdles to go over and sometimes it's going to be challenging. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But now watch this. But God is faithful. I love that because I need that. When I face those temptations and those struggles, I need to know that God's not going to change. But God is faithful who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. You keep your faith and you lean on Him and you depend on Him. You fight those battles and you'll win them. He could have said, I'm not going to go home. I wish I could go home, but I just don't think I could live that life. Here's number five. I would go, but I'm not. Because, you know what? If I went back, I would have to say that I was wrong. And I'm just not ready for that. I'm just not ready to say that. My father and I have had so many arguments. And you know what? He's so stubborn. He's always so stubborn. And you know, I've talked to him and you know, before I left and he begged me not to go, but I went ahead anyway. And now I just don't think I could face it. I don't think I could say to that man, I'm wrong. Now I want to ask a question. Is the prodigal right? Would he be right to assume that in order to go home, he would have to say, I'm wrong? Was he correct? Would he be correct about that? Yes, sir. Oh yeah, you see, there's a gate between the sinner and forgiveness. I'm talking about one who's a Christian. If you're not a Christian, the gate between you and forgiveness is repentance and confession and baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And then we go through the gate and we have forgiveness. For one who is a Christian, who has been baptized for the remission of his sins, now he's in Christ, the gate is still confession. It's repentance and confession. I got to go through the gate. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He's not, God does not want any to perish, but all to come to, wait a minute, if he doesn't want us to perish, we're not going to perish, right? Wait, here's the gate. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You get to the not perish part first. You got to first go through the gate, and that's repentance and confession. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if, here's a conditional promise, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The gate is confessing those sins, and then I get the forgiveness on the other side. He was right. If He said it, He was right. To go home, I'm going to have to say I was wrong. That's true. That's true. This is the pride one. And you know what? It's damned a whole lot of folks. The very idea that He would have not gone home, He would have deprived Himself of the security and the joy and the forgiveness of His Father's house based on His pride. I don't want to say I was wrong. One more. Here's number 6. He might have said, I tell you what, I'm going home. I don't like living like this. I'm going home, but not now. I'm not ready right now, but someday I'm going to be ready, and I'm going to go. Acts 24 and 25. And so Felix listened to the preaching of Paul. Paul preached, I'd love to have heard this sermon. What would you give for a CD of this sermon? He preached on righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. And Felix said, you know what? When I have a convenient time, I'm going to become a Christian. That's very interesting. Of course, the problem with that is that nobody becomes a Christian because it's convenient. You become a Christian because of conviction. And the really frightening thing about this argument, if he had made it, is that, well, you know what it is. You know. If he had said, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to do it now. The fact of the matter is, he might not have had a tomorrow, right? But put that aside. What if he did? You say, well, you know, chances are he would. Chances are he'd live out a regular life, a normal life like the rest of the people. But what if he does? You know what? If I were the devil and I had a shot like this, you know what I would do for the prodigal? If he were there feeding the swine and he said, I'm thinking about going home. I'm thinking about repenting and going back and being right with God and being right with my Father. If I were the devil, what I would do is to have that pig farmer, whoever, that Gentile, whoever he was, approach that prodigal quick and say, listen, I need somebody to manage all of my affairs on this farm. It's a pretty lucrative job, a busy job, but you'd have a nice house and you'd have a good salary. What do you say? You know why I would do that, don't you? Because he'd never go home if he had those things. It'd turn his mind. It'd be apt to just turn him in a different direction. And this business about I'm going to come home someday, and that's what happens to people. There are people who are members of the Church of our Lord. They become Christians, started out on the right foot, and then they go in the wrong direction. Come on back home again. You've got to come back or you'll be lost. And then the devil puts these things in their mind. I'm going to come back. Just not now. Just not now. And the fact of the matter is, I have an idea that had the prodigal son not come home at this time when he did, he'd have never done it, because I have an idea this is as close to coming home as he'd ever get. Can't prove it, don't know it, but I expect it. All these things are very interesting to me, and all of these are speculative. I mean, it's just using our imagination. What we know from what Jesus taught is that the prodigal spent all that money. He lived with harlots. He lived an immoral life, and he knew better. I know that he knew better, because when he did come back to his father, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. That's so interesting, because in this confession, he knows that God was involved in that, and he sinned not just against his daddy. It had been so unsatisfactory, you know, wouldn't it? If he'd come back and said, Daddy, I know I've sinned against you. What about God? He knew. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned in your sight. And he wanted to repent and come home again. That's the best way, you know, to repent. I hold the prodigal up as the cleanest lesson on how to confess and repent. Repent and confess of my sins. Repent means to change your mind. And then confess it. You confess your sins to those who against whom you've sinned, and you make this right. And it's so clean the way he did it. Father, I have sinned He didn't argue any mitigating circumstances or all of this stuff. You know why I did it? It was wrong, but here's why I did it. He just said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. There's penitence. There's humility. There's a man who wants to make this right. Now, there may be somebody in this room right now who falls into the category of the prodigal. And if that's true, let me tell you what's about to happen. We're going to sing an invitation song and encourage you to make things right with the Lord. And when you start to do that, I can tell you that the devil is going to put in your mind the kinds of things which I've just described that the prodigal might have said to not come home. And what I want you to do is to recognize those things for what they are. And then I want you to come home. And we will pray with you, and God will accept you back, and you'll be restored to faithfulness. And you can leave tonight back on the right path, back at home with your Father, living the way you know that you should live, in a way that will ultimately lead to heaven for all eternity. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come now as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.